seeking a sign from God. Christian man gets on a city bus. He's the only man on the bus. Goes to the back of the bus, takes a seat, bows his head and says, "Lord, if you want me to tell somebody about you today, show me a sign." The bus moves on. They go to the next stop. One individual gets on the bus, walks all the way back to the back of the bus, sits next to this man, and a gentleman looks over and says, "Sir, do you know anything about Jesus?" The Christian says, "Excuse me a second." He bows his head, and he says, "Dear God, if you want me to talk to this man about Jesus, I need a second sign. Can you please turn the bus driver into an armadillo?" How many of you are looking for armadillos for a sign? In other words, you know what the Lord expects of you, and when you start to do it, he's going to confirm you, but rather you just try to avoid the situation, not to be where you should be. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, where God, who delights, let me say that again, who delights to affirm his will, gives an obvious confirmation to a young expecting mom who simply believed his word. Let me throw two questions your way before I read the text in Luke chapter 1. How does God confirm his pleasure to believers who trust his word? In other words, how does God show you individually when you are believing his word that he is confirming you in that? That's number one. Number two, what benefits come from believing God's word? That's number two. Luke chapter 1, let me begin reading in verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" I'm going to learn a little bit about jumping John today. Let's join me in prayer, please. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Father, I just delight to know that you love to speak to your children. You have been that way from creation. You spoke creation into existence. You spoke that the nation of Israel heard the Ten Commandments, Lord. You're thundering from the mountain. And even when your son was obedient to be baptized, the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." I delight, Father, that you are desirous to communicate your will, your heart, your mind to us. Oh, Lord, today, help us to put down our deflector shields. Help us to be vulnerable before you, to allow the word of God to evaluate our hearts. As David said many centuries ago, "Search me and try me." Father, would you do that through your spirit today? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Once Mary learned that Elizabeth was an indicator that God can do anything. Remember what God had told Mary through the angel? That Elizabeth, senior Elizabeth, if you will, in her old age, the one who was called barren, will conceive and have a son. We know him as John the Baptist. As soon as Mary got the word, she hurries from Nazareth down to a Judean city. Approximately 70 miles would have taken her 3 days, and upon arrival, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, I love this, that the babe leaped in her womb. Notice number one, in the womb, John is a babe. That's interesting. You wouldn't understand this if you watch what is going on in society today, even with the partial birth abortion. And even as we look at people around the globe who don't respect life, notice here, even in the womb, the child is called a babe. Same word that is used of Jesus Christ, next chapter, verse 12, because you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And something extraordinary happens. And I want you to meet, if you will, Jumping John the Baptist, who makes a splash testifying of Jesus. And he also fulfills Scripture. Go back with me to chapter 1, if you will, in verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. The angel is speaking to Zacharias. And here it says about the son, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be, and note this, everyone, filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. What an extraordinary prediction that even in the womb, the babe would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have the fulfillment of this. Mary speaks, and what does John do? I mean, he jumps. I mean, I don't know about you. I think that's pretty cool. He comes out with a splash because he's given glory to God, and he is filled, I think, at that moment with the Holy Spirit. Now, the word filled, I want to draw your attention to it because it's not the usual word for filled. In Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll talk about this in a bit, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There it's speaking of the general filling of the Holy Spirit. It's the word play ra'o. And when you are filled with the Spirit, there are three things that happen generally. You have joy, you have thanksgiving, and you are also submissive to God. This is the word pimplemi. Luke only uses it 8 times, and it is the idea, and I write about this in my book, Preaching with Fire's ETA, of an extreme takeover from a friendly force. That's the Holy Spirit, who is now, we're going to see, not only in John, but in Elizabeth and Zacharias as well. And may I just point out to you, when I want to put the family together in context, that first of all, we see in 1:15 that John is filled with the Spirit. And by the way, when you are filled with the Spirit, when there is that extreme takeover, there is a boldness that comes to that individual. And was John a bold individual? As the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees are coming to him, and he looks him in the eye and he says, "You brood of vipers." Is that how you make friends and impress people, I ask you? Right? When you have the Spirit's filling, because the sovereign God has come upon that person and says, "I want to work through you," there will be blessings. And one of the great blessings is there is a boldness that comes. It's like when you're at work and the people change and put some music on it. You know, you really shouldn't have it work because it's going to throw you off your Christian walk. And you do what? You speak up. Or it's when you're somewhere and you have that opportunity to give a witness and the Spirit of God, if you will, just strengthens you and you give the word and you speak. Spirit of God wants to make us bold, to fill us. And we'll see this word over and over again as we go through Luke, but even some examples in Acts as well. And notice in verse 41, it says, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Let me share point number one with you this morning. God confirms his word. Let me say it again. God confirms his word with Spirit-filled joy. In other words, when we see Mary and Elizabeth believe God's word, guess what they got, everybody? Give you the word. How about giddy? And you're going, "Oh, giddy means silly," doesn't it? Do you know the origin of the word giddy? The word giddy literally means to be possessed with a god. Are Elizabeth and Mary possessed with the God? Absolutely, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And do we see the same thing of John the Baptist to come? Is he possessed with the God in the sense because the Holy Spirit is also within him? See, this world believes that happiness and joy come from external influences. And I'm so intrigued because when we're told in Luke 1:15 that John would be filled with the Spirit, it says, keep wine from him. Keep strong drink from him. See, his joy that he would know even in the womb would be a result of God's Holy Spirit. Can I ask you today, do you know the joy of the Lord? Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That's a kind of a tough word. What does dissipation mean? Asotia. It comes from the Greek verb sozo, which means to save, and then the alpha privative, which means not to save. It's the idea of being without hope. See, don't be drunk with wine and make yourself hopeless. But rather, and here's the command, be filled with the Spirit. See, that's a present tense verb. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's a passive voice, which means you allow this to happen to you. And let me tell you this, my friends, it's a command. The Word of God is not saying, if you feel like it, be filled with the Spirit. The Word of God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. So don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And three things happen. Number one is joy. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Are you joyful? Do you have a Christian tune in your heart? Do you go around a house when you're scrubbing toilets, or maybe you're changing the oil in the car, or you're mowing that lawn and you're singing to God because there's just such a work of God in your heart that you just praise him throughout the day? That's a sign of being Spirit-filled. And are you thankful for all things? Even when traffic is a little bit heavy. Even when, and you can fill in the blank, things seemingly aren't going according to your schedule, it says that we give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for everything? And everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even when you don't get what you wanted to buy, and even when God slows you down from what was your desired track. Thank you, Lord. You know what's best. I defer to you. And then finally, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We are also submissive. We get under our authorities. We are individuals who understand that all authority comes from God, and therefore, we're going to submit to those authorities. And God blesses. You might know the name of Bill Bright. He was with Campus Crusade. He's now with the Lord. And he used to tell the story of the Yates Pool. Going back to the days of the Depression, you know, going back 29 and onward, the field was, this man owned a field, and it was a sheep ranch. Now, it was a bad time. You know how difficult it was because when the stock market crashed and the banks went down, a lot of people found the tallest building and just leaped. This man was having a hard time paying his principal and his interest. And then, if you will, like so many people, he was on a government subsidy in that day. Day after day, as he was working on those rolling hills there in Texas, he wondered, how am I going to pay my bills? Ever had that dilemma going on? Then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told him that there might be oil on land, and they wanted to do a wildcat well, dig it, if he would give them permission. So he signed the contract. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential flow of 125,000 barrels of oil a day. See, Mr. Yates was rich the whole time. When he bought the land, he had the oil rights, he had the mineral rights, it all belonged to him, but he lived in poverty because he did not understand the great riches that he possessed. And may I say to you, child of God, if you're sitting there today, and you're not experiencing joy, you're not experiencing thankfulness, you're not experiencing that submissive spirit to God and to his authorities, then we are also in poverty when God has designed us because of the implanted Holy Spirit to be absolutely rich. Our joy comes from yielding to the word of God and saying, not my will be done, but yours. Whatever your word says, Lord, I'll do. Whatever you show me in my life, I'm going to follow your lead. Then comes the joy. Then comes the thanksgiving. Then comes the submissiveness. Why? God confirms his word with spirit-filled joy. Number two, believe God's word for spirit-filled blessings. Believe it. One of the blessings that comes from a spirit-filled life is boldness. Boldness. And I call this a holy boldness. We know some bold people, don't we? They're just offensive. They're always turning people off because they just are always rude. That's not what I'm speaking about here. What I'm referring to is that the Holy Spirit is within you, and normally where you might be cowardly and you might be timid, that the Spirit of living God just, if you will, impels you, drives you to speak up and to say things that are not characteristic of you. Notice in verse 42, then she, this is Elizabeth, spoke out with an, I love this, a loud voice. When you're walking with God and you're bold, you don't care who hears you. You want everybody to know what you have to say for God. She spoke up with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Zero in on that for a moment. It doesn't say blessed are you above women. The Roman Catholic Church teaches the Immaculate Conception. I'll get into this in the weeks to come. That Mary, if you will, was sinless, and that's simply not the case. She is blessed among women, not over women. And it says here, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Bold statements come when the, if you will, extreme takeover from a friendly force moves you. Let me show you this from the book of Acts, if you will. Turn to the book of Acts with me. Springing forward, chapter 4. Want to look at two separate little sections in Acts chapter 4. And this is what I want to encourage you, child of God. Number one, make sure that you have the general filling. What's the general filling? The general filling is when you are obedient to the word of God, your life is lived in submission to God's will, and you are not taking the reins, so to speak. You're not the one holding the wheel saying, okay, Lord, you follow me. But rather you allow the Lord to take the reins, to take the wheel and say, wherever you go, I'll follow. When the pillar of fire by night goes forward, you follow. When the cloud by day moves, you go. See, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, catch everybody led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're willing to follow. But when you are filled, joy, thanksgiving, submissiveness, then you are in a position that God at times just takes you over. And he says, I want you to speak for me. And he gives you a boldness and he gives you ability. And you know how it happens? You witness to someone, you go, wow, that was better than me. God just moves in your life and gives you the words to say, gives you the ability to connect, gives you the boldness to speak, and it just happens. And you know what? You go, wow, that was great. God just worked through me. And in Acts chapter 4, picking up in verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, notice here the religious hierarchy is gathering against John and Peter, verse 6, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. All the big guns, all the intimidators, verse 7. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, here you are, you have been out witnessing. Back in chapter 3, remember with the story? Peter and John are at the gate called Beautiful, and there was a beggar looking for a handout. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man stood up. They are now being interrogated for doing this horrible deed. They are surrounded by the religious hierarchy, and you know what the easy thing to do is? Shut up. Clam up. Speak softly. Give the politically correct answer. Take your finger, stick it up to the wind, and say, oh, what does the council want me to say? Uh-huh. But notice verse 8. Then Peter, and catching everybody, filled. Same word used in Luke 1:15. This is the pimple me. This is the extreme takeover from a friendly force. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all. Catch the boldness? Hey, everybody, hear me. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that might not be a wise statement because they did just kill Jesus. He doesn't care. Spirit of God's upon him. He's bold. He's speaking. Notice this, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Bold? Oh, I think so. I think so. That's what God wants from you and me. In the midst of intimidation, in the midst of, hey, just be quiet. Don't make waves. When the Spirit of God comes upon you and it's time to speak, guess what? We speak. Stay in the same chapter. Come down to verse 23. Chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, that's John and Peter, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, to quote from Psalm 2 applied here, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand had, and your purpose determined before to be done. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that they with all what? Boldness, that they may speak your word. When is the last time you prayed for boldness? When was the last time you said, God, I'm in the midst of a bunch of school kids, many of whom don't believe in you, don't talk like they know you, give me boldness. When was the last time you were in the restaurant and you had all these people around you talking with language that wasn't pleasing to God and you said, God, give me the boldness to bow my head. Give me the boldness to pray with my family. Give me the boldness to let everybody around me see and they hear that you are my God. Give me boldness. They want boldness. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, notice the connection. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were, catch this everybody, all filled, that same word in Luke 1:15, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. That's what God wants. Spirit-filled Christians being bold for him. Come back to Luke 1. Now, Elizabeth is so humbled that the mother of the Lord is visiting her. And now she rehearses that great moment in verse 44. For indeed, she says, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And can I ask you a question, everyone? Truly, why was Mary to be praised? Why should she be given this great adoration, this great honor? The answer, blessed is she who believed. Very simply, the angel came, told Mary the situation, and she said, let it be according to your word. She bowed before the Word of God and said, "That's what I will do." Did Mary know a lot of the Bible? Be careful here. She might have grew up in humble settings, but we're going to see next week that as she speaks, she gives a lot of scripture. That was a young woman, and she was, if you will, hiding the Word of God in her heart. Are you hiding the Word of God in your heart? Do you write down key verses, and when you're mowing the lawn, do you look at it? Do you write down verses and take it to work? You stuff it in your pocket, and when you got 5 minutes at lunch, you take it out and you think about it? Do you get on the treadmill knowing that you're going to be listening to Christian music and, if you will, at the same time, looking over the Word of God? Do we allow God's Word to truly imbue us, to saturate us, to stain us? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." If you're not bold, it might be because you're not praying. It might also be because you're not allowing God's Word to have its appropriate place in your thinking. See, as Elizabeth speaks to Mary, she says, "You're to be praised because you believe the Word." And notice this as well. "For there will be a fulfillment," says Elizabeth, "of those things which were told her from the Lord." So what have we learned? Number one, God confirms His Word with Spirit-filled joy. So when God gives you a direction and you hear Him and you act upon it, guess what He's going to do? He will give you a confirmation that you are on the right path, and He'll fill your heart with joy. Isn't that a great thing? He will do something special just for you to let you know that you are on the right path. And that I, the God of heaven, have recognized that you have submitted yourself to my word, to my direction, and I'm going to bless you with something I've designed just for you. Can I ask, when was the last time that has happened to you? Or how often has it happened that God has stepped in and given you a confirmation that you go, "That's unmistakable"? The second thing we've seen, believe God's word for spirit filled blessings. You got to believe it. Let me come down and give you an illustration if I might. All children of God have the Holy Spirit within them. The Bible says, the moment you believe, Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says so very clearly, you were sealed with the Spirit of God. God's mark of ownership was stamped on your life the moment that you believed the gospel message. Not only were you sealed at that moment, you were filled at that moment. The Spirit of God comes into your life that you might know joy, thankfulness, submissiveness. Not only does the Spirit of God seal you, not only, if you will, does He fill you, but then you are baptized into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we have all been baptized, identified into one body, which makes us one." And then the Spirit of God leads us. But let's talk about the filling for a moment. Every child of God has the Spirit of God within. So let's just say this represents the Alka-Seltzer, the Spirit of God. Ain't much going on there, is there? But now, let's say you are obedient to the Word of God. You unwrap the packing, so to speak, and then you have the Spirit within you, and what begins to happen at that moment? And don't tell me plop, plop, fizz, fizz, but you get the idea, okay? And the Spirit of God begins to work and to fill. God is waiting for you, my friend, to get to that place in your life where it's a Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And don't be conformed to this world. I'm telling you, shut down that godless music. Shut off those godly shows. Get to the place where you say, "This world is not going to conform me, but you are going to be transformed." How? by the renewing of your minds. And the Spirit of God, if you will begin to fill you. And what will come from your life, I'll tell you. You will have joy. You will have thankfulness. You will have a submissive spirit and gladly bow before the Lord and say, you know what's best, God. Whatever you show me, that's where I'm going. So which will it be?